For today we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 17, The Lord Travels to Vrindavan. And this is text 150. Yamuna Dekhiya Prema Pada Champadiya.
Yamuna Dekhiya Prema Pada Champadiya.
Asta Vyaste Bhattacharya Uthaya Dariya. Yamuna.
Yamuna.
The river Yamuna.
The river Yamuna.
Dekhiya.
Dekhiya.
Seeing.
Seeing.
Prema.
Prema.
In ecstatic love.
In ecstatic love.
Pade.
Pade.
Falls down.
Falls down.
Jampadiya.
Jampadiya.
Jumping.
Jumping.
Aste vyaste.
Aste vyaste.
In great haste.
In great haste.
Bhattacharya.
Bhattacharya.
Balabhadra Bhattacharya.
Balabhadra Bhattacharya.
Uttaya.
Uttaya.
Raises.
Raises.
Darya.
Darya.
Catching.
Catching.
Translation. As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the river Yamuna, he threw himself into it. Balabhadra Bhattacharya hastily caught the Lord and very carefully raised him up again. Text 151. The Lord stayed at Prayag for 3 days. He delivered the holy name of Krishna in ecstatic love. Thus he delivered many people. Text 152. Wherever the Lord stopped to rest on the way to Mathura, he delivered the holy name of Krishna and ecstatic love of Krishna. Thus he made the people dance. 153. When the Lord toured South India, he delivered many people, and when he traveled in the western sector, he similarly converted many people to Vaishnavism. Report. Formerly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu converted people when he toured southern and western India. Similarly, the Hare Krishna movement is now delivering the people of the western world, wherever devotees are chanting the holy names. This is all being done by the Lord's mercy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted that he would deliver people in every city and village of the world by giving them a chance to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. That's true. So today we have the great fortune of reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, describing the activities, the characteristics, and transcendental qualities of Guru Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of God Himself, who appeared in this world about 520 years ago, a little more than 520 years ago, and he remained in this world for about 48 years. 24 of those years, he stayed around his birthplace of Navadvipa, where at first he was a student and then later a teacher in the Grihastha. He married twice. His first wife passed away and he married a second time. And then at the beginning of his 24th year, he took the renounced order of sannyas. And at that point, by the request of his mother, Sachi Mata, he made his residence in Jagannath Puri, because Jagannath Puri was fairly close to Navadvipa. So in that way, Sachi Mata could get news of the Lord when people went from the Navadvipa area to Jagannath Puri and back. So Lord Chaitanya went by foot from Navadvipa to Jagannath Puri, and there he converted Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, great Mahavadi, with many, many followers. I had a long discussion, and the Bhattacharya, as this Bhattacharya was converted. And after that, Lord Chaitanya traveled to South India, spent 2 years simply walking and chanting. And on the way, he had many adventures, which are chronicled in this wonderful literature. But the underlying theme throughout was this chanting of the Maha Mantra. And giving that to the people of southern India. And their lives were so revolutionized by this chanting that they in turn would revolutionize other people's lives by giving them the Mahamantra. The Lord Chaitanya returned to Jagannath Puri, and again, he traveled for 6 years. And this, on the second trip, he went to Vrindavan, and again, there were many adventures on the way. But the underlying principle, as Prabhupada is stating here, was this introducing of the Mahamantra wherever he went. So one may say, one may question, what is the great potency of this Mahamantra? After all, it's made with letters from the alphabet, at least in English, there are 26 letters. And we can see the Mahamantra is there, various letters are in the Mahamantra. We pronounce them with our material tongues, and they go through our material voice box, and these words come out, like millions of words in English and other languages. Why are these words unique? Why can they have the potency to revolutionize a person's life? So it's a good question, a question that should be discussed and understood. And one way to approach it is the example or the instruction given by Sri Jiva Goswami, the great Goswami follower of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jiva Goswami says that unless we accept the inconceivable potency of the Lord, we do not accept the Lord. So what does that mean? That if we try to confine the Lord to what we think he can do or he cannot do, then we're not accepting God. For example, we hear that the Supreme Personality of God, when he appeared as a child, he lifted a mountain. Now, we can say, no one can lift a mountain. A child certainly can't lift a mountain. It's much too heavy, it's much too big. Earth, when you lift up earth, if it's not supported, it crumbles and it falls down. So this is not possible to do. Or we can hear that the Supreme Personality of God, that he lies in the causal ocean, and from the pores of his body, the universe is animated. So we can say, this is just not possible. I can't do this. What emanates from my pores is perspiration. So how can the universe is emanating from someone's pores? So in this way, we're trying to restrict the Lord. We're trying to make him conceivable. But actually, Jiva Goswami says that we must accept his inconceivable potencies. Otherwise, we're not accepting God. If we accept there's a God, we accept that he has inconceivable potencies, that he is not restricted by what we think he can do and what we think he cannot do. So how is that? Of course, on the other hand, we should continue this, that it's not whimsical. We can't think up some fantastic thing and say, oh yes, God did this. No, it's described in our Shastras, it's described in the revealed scriptures, the activities of God, and his name, his form, his qualities, his pastime in this way. So it's not a whimsical thing. Just like this morning, we had someone was here filming, so he put his camera on a tripod. It's very stable with three legs in that way. It doesn't move around. So similarly, what we have is Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And the Shastra is one leg of this tripod. And the Shastra is explained by the various Sadhus, the Acharyas. It's another leg of the tripod. And then the bona fide spiritual master makes these instructions relevant to us so that we can apply them in our life and reap the benefits of his instructions. And each of these things corroborates the others. You won't have the bona fide spiritual master saying something that's not in the Shastra or not supported by the various sadhus through the ages. So we can ask, okay, what did the Shastra say about the holy name? What's described about the holy name? So in the Padma Purana is a very important verse concerning the holy name of Krishna. The first line is Nama Chintamani Krishnas. So Nama refers to the holy name of Krishna. And Chintamani, of course we know Chintamani, the word generally means a transcendental touchstone. But in this verse, Chintamani is described as the transcendentally blissful giver of all spiritual benedictions. The transcendental and blissful giver of all spiritual benedictions. Nama Chintamani Krishnas. In the second line, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. Chaitanya, in this context, is the supreme eternal living force. And Rasa Vigraha, he has a form, and that form is full of transcendental mellows, transcendental humors. Then, Purna Sudha Nitya Mukta. Purna means that this name of the Lord is complete. Sudha, it's pure. Nitya, it's eternal. And Mukta, it's liberated. Then finally, we can ask, okay, well, this name has all these incredible qualities, but why? And that question why is answered in the fourth line. Abhinatvan nama namino. Abhinatvan means it's non-different. What's non-different? The name, the nam, is non-different from the person who is named, the namino. So that means that Krishna has invested himself in his holy name. All his transcendental potencies, all his transcendental attributes are there in his holy name. And again, we cannot say, how can God do this? Because we've already established he's inconceivable. And this is what he does for our benefit. He comes himself as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he comes with himself, he comes with the holy name. So together they come. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead gives the Supreme Personality of Godhead through his holy name. Therefore, the holy name has this amazing potency. It's described that it can free one from sinful reactions. Not only the sinful reactions we've committed or we're suffering from in this life, but also the sinful reactions from previous lives. These can be eradicated by chanting the holy name of Krishna. But there's more than that. You can also eradicate sinful reactions through atonement by its citta. The trouble with atonement is that the seed of sinful desire remains in the heart. And then the slate is clean, but since the sinful desires remain, again we commit sins, and again we must suffer from those sins. But the holy name has such potency that it can eradicate, it can eliminate those illusory desires. It's like I was mentioning the other day that we live in Sharanagati. So I do a little gardening in Sharanagati. And part of gardening is weeding, which is another nice way of saying killing living entities. So it's a very important part of gardening, actually. You cannot have a successful garden without devastating the living entities and national service, we hope. So in the process of weeding, there's a way you can pull up a weed where the roots remain in the ground and you just have in your hand a plant that was above the ground. Which you could say you weed it, but unfortunately those roots will again grow into another weed. So that means you have to come back a little later and do the process again. So that's like atonement. But the holy name, by eradicating the sinful desires, that's like pulling out the root. And when we weed, when you pull out, that's very quiet in Sharanagati, you don't hear any noises from cars. So when you pull out the weed from the root, you can hear a little weeping sound as the roots separate from the earth. And as a garden, you feel very satisfied to hear that little weeping sound as the roots are out. So similarly, the holy name of Krishna, it can uproot the illusory desires that make us want to commit all sins and impel us to act sinfully. And it can free us from birth and death, samsara. Such potency is there. And it can inspire us to want to please Krishna, please our spiritual master. It can give us a taste for the nectar for which we are always hankering, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. So much potency is there in the holy name. There's a wonderful book by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, called Harinam Chintamani. And in this book, Lord Chaitanya has a conversation with Haridas Thakur. And he asks Haridas Thakur, the Namacharya of the holy name, by what means can people be delivered from this material bondage? And in response, Haridasa Thakur gives an elaborate description of the Krishna conscious philosophy. And he says there that in previous ages, the first age was a Satya Yuga, the method for deliverance was meditation. Most people live for a long time and they meditate for a long time. In the next age, Treta Yuga, the method of deliverance was by elaborate sacrifices, yajnas. Then in Dwapara Yuga, it was by this temple worship, beautiful, expensive, elaborate temple worship. And in this age, we have so many disqualifications, we are so distracted, and we can easily deviate in so many ways. And in this age, the recommended process for being delivered from material bondage is simply chanting the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
So it's a great boon for us that we have this process given to us by the acharyas and the scriptures and by Srila Prabhupada. And Haridasa Thakur describes that there are different stages of chanting, two stages. That is, Nam-Aparad, one simply is a classical chanting. Nam-Abbas. Abbas means as a faint light from the holy name. It's compared to Namaparad is the darkness of night, and Namabas is when the sun is not fully out, but it's dawn. The sky is becoming light, and it's beginning that we can see objects around us. And then finally, Sudhanam, the pure name. And the pure name has this incredible potency that we find in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's touring of South India and Western India. That wherever he went, he would so influence people that they would simply chant themselves. This is the effect of Sudhanam. And as Prabhupada mentions here, this name came to the Western world so effectively. What he doesn't mention is that he himself brought it. He was chanting the Sudhanam, and therefore it was so potent, so effective. There's a pastime described in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Haridasa Thakur, our Namacharya, the holy name, he went to a town called Chandapur, and there he stayed with Balaramacharya, who was the priest of two brothers, Govardhan and Hirani. They were very wealthy tax collectors in that area. And it so happens that Govardhan is the father of Raghunath Das, who became Raghunath Das Goswami, one of the six Goswamis that we know. So these are very learned, scholarly Brahmins. And since Haridasa Thakur was there, there was a gathering of Brahmins, and they discussed the holy name of Krishna. And some of the Brahmins, some of these scholarly Brahmins, they said, by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one is free from sinful reactions. And others of these Brahmins, they said, no, actually by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one achieves liberation from this material world. And since they were having a discussion, they couldn't come to any resolution. They turned to Haridasa Thakur and said, so what is the resolution of this disagreement? And Haridasa Thakur said, actually, these are both byproducts of chanting the holy name. They're not the actual result of chanting the holy name. These two things, liberation from sinful reactions, and also freedom from this material bondage. These come from Namabas, simply a reflection of chanting the holy name. That the true result of chanting the holy name is prema, ecstatic love for the Supreme Personality of God. So at that meeting, there was a Mayavadi present, Gopal Chakravarti. And Mayavadis, they take the holy name of Krishna as something temporary and material. They are the non-aparadis. Even if they were to chant, their chanting is obstructed, it's distorted. And so they cannot taste any spiritual advancement when they're chanting. And this Gopal Chakravarti became incensed at this glorification of the holy name. And then challenged Haridasa Thakur, and in the end was soundly defeated. Unfortunately acquired leprosy due to his contaminated with offensive mentality. So in that way, Haridasa Thakur, wherever he went, he established the benefits and the glories of chanting the Mahamantra. And it's described that for most of us who are stuck in this Namavasa stage, or it's just a faint light of the holy name, this is there because we're not yet fully knowledgeable about the glories of the holy name. Neither are we fully informed about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and neither about our own identity as part and parcel of the Lord. So there's ignorance there, and it clouds our consciousness and makes us unable to fully benefit from the chanting. But still the chanting is auspicious, and simply by continuing to chant, gradually this ignorance will be cleared, and we can relish the taste of chanting. So it's a great science, and we're very fortunate to be part of this process of Krishna consciousness and make slow and steady spiritual advancement in a simple way by chanting. I thought perhaps this morning it would be appropriate if we discussed the 10 offenses against chanting, because by overcoming these offenses, we will come closer to tasting the sweetness of the holy name. So the first offense is to blaspheme devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of Krishna. Krishna describes at the end of Bhagavad Gita that there's no one more dear than those who are propagating his glories. So to taste his names, he himself is his names. So we want to please him, and there's no way to please him if we're criticizing his servants, rather we will be displeased. So the second offense is
to misunderstand the position of the demigod.
Yes. To consider the names of the demigods equal to or independent of the holy name of the Lord. That again, Krishna has specifically described the Mahamantra, given us the Mahamantra, and it is he himself. And other names of other personalities are not Krishna. And we should never confuse Krishna's names with the names of his servants, like Brahma, Shiva, Indra. This is an offense against the holy name.
This is very good.
The spiritual master is the representative of Krishna. He is related to Krishna. So to disobey his orders is to commit an offense against the holy name, and we'll continue our situation in Namabhas, where we'll be just a faint light of the holy name, a cloud between us and the sunlight of the holy name of Krishna. Four. So as I mentioned before, in the Vedic literature are part of our tripod, so to speak. Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, they're given by the Lord himself, described that they're his breathing, the breath of the Lord. And so there's no way that we can advance in spiritual life if we find fault with his Krishna's gift of the scriptures. Like we can read these descriptions where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is traveling around India and converting hundreds of thousands of people simply by chanting the Mahamantra. And we can think, how is this possible? But actually the holy name is completely pure. And it is possible if it's chanted purely, Sutta Nam. And we have evidence in recent history of Guru Douglas, as he was saying, Srila Prabhupada chanted, and the tremendous impact that had on the hearts of the Westerners and people throughout the world. So it is not imagination. It does eradicate sinful activities. It does stop the process of birth and death. It will give us eventually Krishna prema. It simply must be chanted purely.
That's in the Vedic literature.
6 is... Yes, there's some interpretation. But again, this is not whimsical. It's not that we can think up our own definition of what the names mean. The definitions are there. They're given by our spiritual master and by the acharyas. And we simply accept those with our bowed heads. It's not that we cannot question, but we don't challenge. It's not a question of argument. Now we're up to the Hathivata offense. The simple activities and the strength of chanting Hare Krishna. That we have as conditioned souls, we have a desire for material enjoyment. And our spiritual master has given us rules and regulations. No eating meat, fish, and eggs, no taking intoxicants, no gambling, no illicit sex. So if we think, well, the holy name is so pure and has such an amazing effect, I will chant the holy name, but I'll also enjoy myself in these illicit ways. And in that way, have the best of both worlds. That is cheating. And Krishna is the greatest of all cheats. He will not accept his cheating mentality. So this offense against the holy name, to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting, will actually make a very thick cloud between the sun of the holy name and us. This is called the mad elephant offense.
So,
sometimes that's considered a mind. Here, number 8.
Consider the holy name your target devoted to the spirit of the chanting Buddhist.
Yes. Right, to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna as one of the auspicious ritualistic activities, operatism in the Vedas, is karma kind of activities. So, the holy name is completely transcendental. It has nothing to do with the modes of passion or goodness or ignorance. Karmakanda is the motive. It's trying to advance beyond these modes, but the holy name is already beyond these modes. We should not confuse the two. Allow the holy name to be the transcendental sound that it is, and not bring it to a lower level. The ninth, as Peter said, is to instruct a faithless person about the chanting of the holy names, because that person can simply consider it material and temporary and commit offenses. And maintain material attachments, even though we hear so many instructions about these matters, which is self-explanatory. And then there's also another one, and that is to be inattentive while chanting. And in his Harinam Chintamani, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if this one offense, inattentiveness, is that if we can overcome that offense, we will overcome the other 10 offenses. If we can simply be attentive while we chant. And that inattentiveness is divided into three categories or three divisions. One is indifference to the holy name, another is laziness, and the third is distraction. So, if we can, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, that if we can overcome distractions, we'll overcome indifference, and we'll overcome laziness, and then we'll overcome inattentiveness, and then we'll overcome all the other 10 offenses. So, we need to overcome distractions. Now, what are those distractions? You know them all very well. It's attraction to the opposite sex, desire for wealth, desire for power and prestige, desire for fame, adoration. All these things are distractions that take us away from the sweetness of the name and keep us rooted in this namabhasa stage. So our goal is simply to hear each mantra and each word of each mantra without distraction, with full attendance. And for this takes prayer. We pray to Krishna simply to let us chant clearly and attentively, and to please him with our chanting. And without his help, we cannot accomplish this. In fact, without his help, we cannot accomplish anything. So, we go on chanting with great enthusiasm and confidence, and with patience. And we pray for you that this sun of the holy name will shine fully in the sky of our lives, so that we can relish its beauty and experience the transcendental, this blissful nature of the giver of the holy name, who is also giving all spiritual benedictions, should I say, with his name. So perhaps, oh gosh, I'm sorry, I would not have to assist the time for discussion. What should I do? Maybe there's some discussion on these points.
Could you say something more about the indifference of the holy name? Towards the holy name?
That we hear so many things, you know, especially in this age, we're bombarded with information. We go on the internet and we can have news about every city, every country, every part of the world. So we can think, you know, that this holy name is just one of innumerable multitudes of information that's being given to us, and not take it as the unique feature in our lives that will save us from this material entanglement. So in that way, it's actually a difference, and indifferent. We don't take it for the supreme benediction that it is. That is something a little bit less, and that leads to indifference.
The ninth offense, preaching the glory of the Lord to the faithful, is always a tough one to define. It's called yuga, so you could say that almost everyone is faithless, so then what's the scope for our preaching? There's only 5% who stop preaching. And sometimes when we're out of book distribution, we would approach someone and just show them a book or something, and they would, then they would say something, some, you know, some foreign language or something that was just something really nasty. And so would it have been better that we didn't say anything about the holy name? And then when you're out on the streets, if you're distributing books or distributing the holy name, how, you know, to take, you know, you take study each person and think, wow, I think, and you know, you could say, no, this one's faithful, not this one's faithful. So, you know, how do you decide which is better? If someone, main question is which is better? If someone becomes blasphemous when they hear the chanting or they hear speaking about the glories of the Lord, is it better that they never heard that, or do they make some benefit just by hearing their name?
We have the example of Srila Prabhupada, that he went to Tompkins Square Park in the very beginning and chanted the Lord. But at that time, he did not necessarily describe the glories of the Mahamantras or this way. And he simply chanted. And that chanting is purifying, so after one chants the Mahamantra, then slowly, slowly, that person can begin to understand the glories of the Mahamantra. But if we start explaining the glories too soon, then you might have a situation like Gopal Chakravarti, who becomes very incensed, how is this possible, and commits offenses. Does not benefit. So a question of time, place, and circumstance, and also understanding what the particular person can be ready for.
And you spoke about the Maha Mantra, but could you also say something about other holy names? I mean, like Allah or these kind of things?
Yeah, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said that we can chant any name of God. It doesn't have to be the Maha Mantra, but it simply should be a bona fide name of God. So that certainly includes Allah, Jehovah, and Buddha as a name of God. So it must be a bona fide name of God, and that is purifying to chant that name. But mostly people don't have names.
correcting the bodies and situations and actually creating fences. Sometimes we're in a situation, people in a situation where they need to correct the bodies, they need to correct situations. But where does it end up in criticizing?
Well, it's a question of the heart.
Sorry?
A question of the heart that it should be, well, first of all, it should be done by the person who's responsible for that individual, not that any stranger can come and make the correction. But if it's a child, of course, it's the parent, if it's a disciple, it's the spiritual master. If it's a resident of the temple, perhaps it's the temple leader. So in that way, it's not just anyone who corrects, but the person who's actually taking responsibility for that individual. And even in the case of that person, it's a question of heart, that we don't want to discourage that person in any way. We simply want to help them. So if we come with a sincere desire to help them advance in spiritual life and not to in any way bring them down or appear superior to that person, then that is a pure motive. If we choose the right time and place and circumstance and do our correction with a prayer, and if we need assistance, and the person's grace,